This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, you heard it all right there. It's the drive at five. It's the final game. Probably. What will it be looking back if it isn't?
I mean, cow,
number one, it'd be great. Like, you'd love to right now, you know, collect money around your neighborhood if you knew it could help get there to be one more game in the next month. we'd all donate. So that'd be something. Chargers at Bills for the right to go to Super Bowl 60 or whatever that would be. All right. But, you know, Sal, we talked to Sal earlier, and I've come around to his thinking about Sunday. Maybe it's because as it gets closer, I feel a little bit more nostalgic about it. Last Sunday on postgame after the loss to Philadelphia, I'm like, think about what next Sunday is now. What an anticlimax
right. This
day is. Like, it's about getting to the Super Bowl and winning it maybe for once and the opportunity the Bills have. But then they're going to close the stadium in advance of that, and it's just road games. I don't know. I think as a fan, I said last week or even Monday, like, as a fan, my attitude would be really twisted up about what this is. If your team is bad, the whole season is about the end of the stadium. And it's fine. You drive Kyle Williams around, you know, victory right. laps on a tractor or whatever. Like, it's fun. The last game right. is fun. You had no expectations for anything more. It's really what the season is about. That's not what this season is about. It's there. It's true. But it's not what this season is about. And so I was thinking more, as I'm saying, just that kind of melancholy about it all. But then Sal's like, well, you could also just separate the two because their season can't end Sunday.
Right.
And he's right about that. And maybe you can go in there and just sort of enjoy the day.
Yeah.
Because there's really not that much even on the line.
Everything about it could have tied you up in knots if Allen hits Shakir with that pass. Because one benefit that sprang to mind, and it might be top of mind and already, you know, been lapped by other things because I haven't been here talking for whatever, how many shows I've missed with time off here around the holidays, but at least New England would have to still be playing, you know, like how hard and how long they'd have to go, who knows, you know, depending on what's going on with Bills Jets, but you sort of give them the benefit of the week off and they may take it. I would think they would. If the Chargers are not standing up to Denver, then I can't get there anyway, but at least if the division were still in play, they'd have to go. Now, the downside to that is so would you. You'd be playing for the division, so that means Allen on his gimpy foot and everything else. You know, Bosa could go for his three sacks for the three-quarter million.
Oh, baby.
Instead of just the one for the – $250 for the one?
Yeah.
But that can cut both ways. We've seen these Bills teams, recent vintage – get tripped up by having to go hard in week 18 and not have the full complement of guys. I mean, so the opportunity, that's why I sort of settled into, I'm not worried about 5, 6, 7 anymore. I need to rest. I can't get to the division. I can't get to the one. Sure, I'd like to be 5 in case 6 and 7 win and I win and then I'm home. You know, like that is still realistic to me. Whoever is in the 5 spot could have that benefit. I mean, the Bills, if the Bills are 7, I'm not telling you they can't go beat New England. And so the same holds true for any of those 5, 6, 7 teams, whatever order they're in. I mean, I already saw a look-ahead line while we were doing the line last segment. Bills, Jaguars, Bills are favored by 1.5.
Okay, that sounds about right.
It's the only one. They have a bunch of games up and multiple games for different teams, like multiple possibilities, but the only game they have projected for Buffalo is that one. There's no other choices there. Philadelphia's got a few different games on the board for the playoffs. But still, like, you know, these we've thought all along, like whoever they go play, there's a chance they're going to be favored, even though they're the road team. And I think you could say that about all three wild card teams, excuse me.
Well, you could. I doubt the Chargers are a road favorite anywhere. Maybe Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And
that might be the only one.
Houston, New England. Houston's not favored. The Bills might be favored anywhere, though.
Yeah.
Through the week was. Yeah. Maybe they will be. Let's go to your calls at 803-0550. We have Brian next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, boys.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Sorry, I'll try to keep this quick. So I grew up a few miles east of the stadium, and I used to be able to hear Stan Roberts call the game on the PA.
From
the
home?
Blowing in the right direction. From home, yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. When I could go out in my backyard and hear him clear as day. It was great. You know, just dozens of memories at the stadium. My family was lucky enough to have season tickets from 1988 to 1995. Pretty good time period.
It's a good pocket, yeah.
Yeah. So my first game by myself was the 9-6 clincher against the Jets, the Fred Smurlus game.
Mm-hmm.
And I left early because my mom told me that if it started raining, I should just go outside and she'd just come pick me up. Well, you couldn't even tell that it was raining on television, so I just sat in the parking lot for that.
Oh, no, she didn't know. No cell phone, right?
No cell phone. Yep, right. Yep. But I'm glad that happened because I learned that lesson, and then of course years later in 1993, I'm there for the comeback game, and Bubba McDowell runs the pick six back, and I'm with my stepdad, and he says, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, let's just stay to the end of the third quarter." And he said, "Okay, as long as it doesn't rain." So by the end of the third quarter, it was 35-31. I said, "Yeah, what do you think? Should we stay?" And he said, "Yeah, I think we should stay." So we talked about that for the rest of our lives. We had that memory. And the two favorite concerts that I went to at the stadium, my first one in 92 was Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Faith No More. Mike, do you know who these artists are?
Yeah, only because I know Chris.
Very well. Well, that was an education in and of itself when I was 15.
There's a Lars in there somewhere, right. I believe.
Good job. Drummer, Metallica. Yep, you got it.
Yeah, and then the weirdest double bill ever to this day was the following year was the Grateful Dead, where Sting was the opener. That made no sense, but I bought a T-shirt that came with a free joint, and I'm quite sure that there was nothing but chopped chives.
Bulldog, do you know who Sting is?
I've heard of Sting. I think I am familiar.
Good for you, Brian.
Brian, I was going to ask you that you got to concerts eventually. Could you hear concerts? Like, if you could hear Stan Roberts, I'll bet you could hear when you were littler, maybe the Stones or the Who and the Clash and
Michael
all that.
Michael Jackson,
even. Yeah, right.
Well, I wasn't old enough for that particular one, but yes, like as long as you were somewhere near there, now the speakers would have been facing the other direction.
Okay, right.
So it's not as easy.
Right.
But I mean, the amount of times that I tailgated and got kicked out, just just so many memories.
Man, if I had to listen to the PA announcer belch third down every 5 seconds, I would move to Youngstown. But back in those days, this is super cool. Like, you could actually follow the game, I bet. Now, you couldn't do that now, because
right.
Now it's an act. But, I mean, that would have been amazing,
yep.
I think, to do. So
yeah. Long live Rich Stadium.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Yeah.
I couldn't do concerts. Like, I did some stadium talk this week, but I remember how excited my class was for Thriller. That's 84. I mean, the Jet game he's talking about is 88. But for the Thriller tour.
Yeah.
But I never went to a concert there.
Yeah. I went to a handful. Stones in, I always mix up the years. I think the Stones are 81 and the Who's 82, or is it 80 and 81? Anyway. The Stones.
When was Benatar?
I don't have that on my bingo card.
Oof,
the Who and the Clash and David Johansen from New York Dolls, that was great. And I also went to they had a series of concerts called Superfests, one through whatever. I don't know how many. There might have been 15 of them. And I went to one of the last ones, which was Foreigner, Loverboy, Ted Nugent, and Iron Maiden. Like, Iron Maiden was not like a giant top touring act on their own yet. They were just sort of breaking through in North America anyway. And so they played like a half an hour to start this show, Iron Maiden, like this legendary band, in this like tiny little opening slot before Ted Nugent, which is just kind of hilarious to me.
It is. I think I can even appreciate that.
And I don't even really, I mean, at the time I must have liked something about that bill, but none of those bands are bands that I like listen to on any kind of regular basis.
You know what? That was really fun. Thank you, Brian. I've never been more insulted or flattered.
Right. I'm just flattered he listens well, like closely enough to ask that question.
I love that.
That's like a secret handshake question.
I love that. Do I know who Guns N' Roses is? Sort of. Here's Dave next. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
So my most fondest memory, real quick, is just actually, I don't know if it's still the coldest game in Bill's history against the Raiders. Like, the wind chill was like -20 or 30-something degrees, but that was my most memorable moment.
93 playoffs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, sitting in the rock pile, my uncle took me, but... Yep. I just I hear a lot of talk about whether we should start the starters or who should play and who shouldn't play. I think it all should matter on what happens in the earlier games. I think that, you know, if a Houston and the Chargers lose, I think you at least got to start majority of the starters for the first half to get up on the Jets and then sub them out, because having that 5 seed is quite a difference, even from the 6 seed.
Well, you won't know about the Chargers. They're in the same window as the Bills. They're at 425.
So. Jacksonville or Houston, though.
Right.
If one of them loses, you're live for this.
Right,
Dave.
Yeah, but either way, I think that it's a very big difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way the season has gone, we can sit here and say, hey, the backups should have beat the Jets, but we all know how that went this year. We should have done a lot of things, and it hasn't happened. So,
probably the Bills with – thank you, Dave. The Bills with Trubisky are not that much better than the Jets, I think. I feel like that – the line has been 7 or 7.5 all week. If Allen's playing this game, it's double that.
For sure, yeah.
So it's a Trubisky game, and I don't know. It's Trubisky – last year, Trubisky and Mike White – targeted Keon Coleman 10 times in Foxborough. He caught 2 passes. It could be that again, where you're trying to get Coleman somewhere. You're resting Kincaid. You're resting probably not Shakir. He's got incentives. He never misses. But still, like, you're taking it slow on offense, and you're playing with your backup. How good should the Bills be in a game like that? Maybe the Jets are just so done that you're fine anyway. But this is an interesting scenario. And for me, the likelier of the two is not Jacksonville losing to Tennessee in Jacksonville. Come on. But if they get way ahead, Houston could bail on its game. Because Houston only has this, other than 5-6-7, Houston's hoping for the AFC South. But if Jacksonville wins, the door is shut.
Right.
So if Jacksonville gets out 21-0 after one, like New England against the Jets last week, a game like that, Houston maybe could shut it down. And if they lose to the Colts with the Jonathan Taylor, and so the Colts have lost 6 games in a row, like, I don't know. That's more likely to me than Jacksonville losing.
The Phillip Rivers comeback tour is over.
That's over. It's Riley Leonard. If Houston were to lose, then we're on Dave Street here,
right,
where the Bills winning and Denver winning means you're the five.
Right.
And that, I think, is he. It's respectable that you play for that. So he is saying, base it on what happens to the Texans or even the Jaguars. And I think that that's fair. You could take Allen out and then it's 10-10 and you put him back in. Like, you could even do that. I think that that's fair. And then you're playing the winner of the night game.
I think it's fair, but, and you could say this irrespective of the injury, but he's been compromised. I'm glad he's off the injury report, but And maybe I'd be even more – I don't want him to play at all. I just don't. He won't say the foot bothered him at all on any of the stuff that he missed on Sunday against Philly. But he matters more than who I'm playing next week, I think, to me. So there's no scenario in my, for me, where like I would be beside myself if they took him out of the game, one snap, you got your start, and then decide to put him back in. I don't need him to play at all. I want the five, but I have softened enough to say that. Like, if I can't get it done with the other guy playing, then, you know, I'll have to deal with what comes. But he is the number one priority. And regardless of what the injury report says, we've seen him grabbing for his foot. You've seen him hobbling around. I need him as close to full strength for Jacksonville or New England or Denver or wherever I'm going next week. So
fair enough.
I don't want him to play at all.
Shoot him up, but okay, fair enough. Colin is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're
love
welcome.
The show. Just to pick up on that last point, you know, I've kind of wanted the five for a long time, too. But now with Baltimore sitting there, I wonder what that look-ahead line would be, Buffalo at Baltimore. I don't like that matchup at all. And I also wonder, with Houston, if this idea of, you know, might they back off if the South is out of play, I think they would want to be playing for the five, too, because I don't think they want to go to Buffalo potentially down the line.
That's right.
Anyway, just a couple of thoughts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've loved the conversation, and I liked a couple callers ago turned it to concerts at the stadium. I wonder if one amazing moment at this stadium might not come in the future. Is it possible that if the Bills went to either the AFC Championship or more, I'm thinking about the Super Bowl, could they host a big watch party there? I've always wondered where I would watch a Buffalo Bills Super Bowl, not living in Western New York. Could I come up to the stadium and would there be a huge watch party? I think Detroit had one. Obviously, it's a dome, so it's a little bit different, but they had one for their NFC Championship game a couple years ago. I just love the idea of the fans filling the stadium for a Super Bowl watch party. I wonder if that's a possibility.
It's a good idea. You'd have to, do they have the screens? Like, you'd have to put screens all over the field so everybody could watch the game and be able to see everything from their seats. It sounds probably like more than the Bills would want to undertake. I'm not sure they'll be taking the stadium down by then.
The scoreboard, yeah, I'm pretty sure they won't be doing that. You've got the big one. Are there two? There's another one above the suites in the corner, like the tunnel end. There's a video board there. There's two, but I feel like one only shows like stats and stuff.
Yeah, I just.
So I don't know.
It's not good enough.
If there's enough.
It's not Dallas.
Right.
Where I could have a seat on the upper deck and watch the game, right? Like almost like I'm at home.
Looking at my TV, yeah.
That's not the point. The point is to be together.
Right.
But
you want to have a way, like an arena is an easier way to do that with the Jumbotron in the middle. Like the biggest screen in the building is in the middle of the building.
You could do that.
And you can watch that. Maybe it's more realistic. It's going to be way less people, but you could pack 20,000 people into the arena for this for sure.
I don't know, though. Are the Mammoth in town?
Oh, I haven't. Yeah.
Is there a game?
Not looked at potential schedule conflicts with the Super Bowl.
I should stop condescending the Sabres. They've won 10 games in a row. Tage Thompson has rediscovered beast mode. The game he had in Dallas was sick. He's going to the Olympics. They're in it. It's funny. Like, it's literally what Paul said they needed to do to make it interesting, and they did go. And they're not. I don't think it's going to be 11. Maybe it'd be cool if they did. It'd be a franchise record. They have literally won 10 straight. The number,
right?
The Paul at kept Edmonton, saying,
right?
At Seattle, at
Vancouver,
St. Louis, at Dallas. I mean, just what's to say?
Dallas was.
It was their best win.
Dallas was so impressive.
That might have been their best one.
I would say that they out Dallas'd Dallas. They really just took everything away in that game. It's really, to me, the biggest difference. I mean, you know, it's hockey, right? You're going to get some overtime luck and some shootout luck and whatever. And you can, you know, we saw this happen in 2018. The Sabres won 10 in a row, and it just, the bucket that was carrying that win streak had holes all over it. This one, maybe they're getting more saves above expected than they should be or something, right? It's not bulletproof.
No doubt.
But the way that they are shutting games down is the biggest difference. Oh, win streak or not, like they could have won 7 of these 10, and I think I would still be able to say that make the same point. Like, they are just buckling games down, which is really – It's a sign of everyone giving everything they can. Like that's because it's hard to just do that, to dig in defensively and get sticks in lanes and all this stuff, and they are just doing it.
The Friday Drive at 5 is brought to you by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com and by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com and by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break? Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. We'll talk some more after the update. Bills and Jets, 4:25 on Sunday. You guys knew that, right? They changed the time to 4:25 so that nobody got an unfair advantage between the Bills, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Chargers, those teams. That's the deal. So there's that, 4:25. Hate Not it. Saturday.
Hate it.
Hate it.
Hate it. I hate 4:25.
The whole game will be in the dark, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Let's see. No? That's what I...
Red helmets. They'll sort of be shiny.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
With the lights on.
I never know when to eat when the games are at 4:25.
Oh, that's a great point.
I never know.
Here's one idea.
I'm too nervous. I mean, I don't know if I'll be nervous in this game, but like, I don't want to eat while the game is going on. My mind is working. I'm not going to sit here eating chicken wings. I don't know. I just don't feel relaxed enough to do that, I think, is probably the point.
To eat wings.
And then, like, we get done at post games, like 9:15, 9:30, whatever. Like, what? I don't know when to eat. I'm a grown man, and I don't know when to eat when the game is at 4:25.
No, I think this is a good point. Because, you know, you're making your own dinner often, too.
Right.
And so when... You going in during the 1 o'clock, the witching hour?
Right.
And, you know, whipping up a soup?
Probably not.
No, it's order out time. But, yeah, I feel this.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you.
What I did last week doesn't even really apply because we ordered pizza on Saturday as my family was going on a trip Sunday. So I ate the pizza on Sunday and Sunday night. That was just what was there.
I've done some of that this week.
I made sure to order enough pizza so that I would be able to eat before and after the game without having to do anything else.
My wife goes back to work tonight, so I'm on my own for dinner, and we have leftover pizza stuff, like just to make homemade pizza. And I just did this on New Year's Eve, but I think it's wrong. I'm just going home and make a pizza. I mean, it's good. Pizza is delicious.
No, it's fine. It's good.
But if I've ever been in my life sick of pizza, and dare I say, even beer, I might be at that point right now. Yeah, I just like enough of all of that. I should go home and eat a salad and have a tonic water.
Get the artichokes back out.
Right.
If any were left. We will continue after, like it or not, after sports, Football Friday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Congratulations to Barb F. for being our final lucky winner of the Football Friday Tailgate Tray Giveaway, and there's no shame at all in being the last one. Maybe that's the theme of the week. It's a season of endings.
Finality, yeah.
Good for you, Barb F. You've scored a $300 Tailgate Tray Certificate from Alibaba Kebab. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Let's go to Gary next. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Mike Bulldog. Thanks for taking my call. Some of my memories are I grew up in Lackawanna, New York. I live in Alpharetta, Georgia now. But some of my fondest memories were not necessarily in the stadium, but outside the stadium. So in 1982-ish, when I was 14, I would drive my bike up to the stadium. It was only 2.5 miles. And I would watch them practice, but I would get all their autographs. So we're going back to Joe Ferguson, Joe Cribbs, Jerry Butler, Lou Piccone, Fred Smirlis, Jim Haslett, Conrad Dobler, Joe DeLamalure. And I still have those autographs to this day in a photo album under my bed. And just very, very fond memories of growing up around that stadium. So thank you for taking my call.
Gary, before you go, do you happen to know a story about one time, I don't have any memories of going to the stadium on this night because at the last minute I couldn't go and your now wife was told that I would not be going with her to the game?
No, but I'll ask her about
that. Do you want to hear the story?
What just happened?
I said a lot right there. So,
because I have a story too that I want to tell you that has to go back to college with you and my wife. But go ahead. Oh,
okay. So Gary's wife, she texted me during the break, like, my husband's on hold. Like, this is going to be good. So there was a night game. You might know it. The Bills played the Colts on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
They won the game, I think, 38-0. And early that afternoon, I got a call from the Amherst asking if I could do the PA for their game that night that involved the Sabres. It was an exhibition game with the Sabres. Like, oh, no. And Sue and I were just friends. It was only that. But she and I were planning to go to the Bills game together. And I'd like, oh, my God, I cannot say no to this.
Right.
Like, I'm going to do PA for a Sabres game. I'm 20. Like, I have to say yes to this. So I decided to do that. And, you know, we're in the dorms. And I went to Sue. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't go. Something just came up. Do you want it? I can't take the tickets. I don't even know. I don't think she did. But, like, I had to cancel on her, which I hated, to do this other thing. And so.
And look at you now.
I look at me now. I have no memories of the Colts game in 1992 other than feeling terrible for not being able to go to it, Gary.
But you did take her to her first game there.
I did?
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
End zone, and it was in the winter, and she froze.
Okay, well, I did have a few of those. I don't remember that.
Is this your Arizona game with the no socks or the wrong shoes, New Orleans?
Did she go to that? Is it the Saints? I don't remember what game that was. Well, it wasn't this Colts game.
Yeah.
But a funny memory, though, because obviously that was your senior year, and when I would come up to visit her and when I first met you for the first time, and we're like, oh, you know, I'm Mike, and oh, what do you do for a living? And, well, I'm going to be on the sports, you know, air radio waves, and I thought to myself, yeah, right. Good luck with that. You know the chances of all that happening. And now here you are killing it. So every time I hear you on the radio, Sue and I talk about it, and I laugh like, oh, my God, he did what he said he was going
to
do.
Well, that's very special to hear. Best to you, Gary. Happy New Year, and to Sue as well.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well done. Yeah, I wasn't kidding when I said look at you now. You took that Amherst gig, and you showed Gary what was what.
Victor Gordiuk scored late, and the Sabres won against Washington.
Victor Gordiuk.
LaFontaine played, I think, like a 5-4 game at War Memorial Arena. Wow, I can't remember the official name of the place. There. You know the place I'm talking
about. Yes, Blue Cross.
The Blue Cross Arena, right, before it was called that. Here's Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Did I know your wife when she was in college?
No, Matt. Matt knew my wife when they were in college.
Okay, no. I'm sure if you did, it would have been a good relationship. So, anyway. So guys, I got to tell you, like, I've been listening so diligently over the past few weeks, and I haven't heard anybody talk about, there was a game in 2002, early December against the Dolphins. And I remember going with my brother-in-law, and it was, you know, we destroyed the Dolphins, but the snow was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was at this game. Me too. It's my snow game for the stadium.
Yeah. Right. Like, and yeah. I remember it was blinding. I couldn't see the field by the end of the game. I couldn't see anything, but it was deafening. Everybody was screaming and yelling and just so excited because it was such an amazing game, and we were destroying the Dolphins. And I just remember sitting there, and like I got like a Tim Hortons hot chocolate or whatever, a hot chocolate. I brought it back. By the time I got it back to my seat, it was cold. It was just such a fun game to be at. It took us forever to get home because it was so much snow. And keep talking about the Indianapolis game, but I feel like this game was, I don't know, it had to be at least as bad.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Standpoint.
You're right, Matt.
I don't remember the snow piling up on the field the way it did in the Indianapolis game, but it was a scene. I mean, it was a straight-up snow game, and there were pockets within the game where it was really coming down. I mean, this is the Ricky Williams went off, but Bledsoe hit Peerless Price, and Price runs into Jim Kelly's arms in the end zone. Like, Kelly's there in, like, a varsity high school jacket, but it's a Bills jacket.
Yep.
And he's just out there with, I remember thinking, like, he's out, no hat on. It's just like, you know, in the end zone, probably got a flask in his back pocket. And here comes Peerless Price. And I'm thinking, like, Dan Marino would not be standing in this end zone right now. Like, this is our, that, look at this guy.
I know, and I ripped him.
I love that so much.
I ripped him the next day.
Of course
not ripped
did.
Him, but I was working with Chuck. And he was like you right there, sort of going in on Kelly, the cheerleader. I'm like, you know what? He should probably calm down. He's not on the team. Somebody should tell him he's not on the team anymore. And we went to commercial, and Chuck was like, wow, that was good. Like, and I put my head in my hands, like, just, oh, no, probably wasn't. Right. But, you know, you're not on the team anymore. Relax.
Yeah.
Was my take. Which I kind of still do feel that way, but not to disagree with your point.
No,
about
it really added to the day for me to see him. Really, really, I mention it every time I think about that game. Like, it's a real highlight to me.
I love that I sort of mad at him for it. Like, come on, dude, you don't play anymore. You can relax, sit down, get your own hot chocolate somewhere, and just enjoy the game with the rest of us. Okay, picks next. Football Friday on WGR.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Just a quick bit of housekeeping. It does sound like, yes, that 1989 John Forcade Saints game was the one that I took my friend Sue to for her first game. And my excuse is I didn't wear socks to that game because I was like living on my own for the first time and didn't realize that you need to sort of dress for yourself. And my feet were probably so cold that I forgot the whole experience.
Yeah. Somehow that's what sticks out to me about you. When you talk about memories of the stadium, I remember you no socks at at a snow game.
Yeah. Gary, her husband who called in, and maybe also Sue in the text was like, yeah, I was freezing.
Yeah.
That had to be it. I also went to the
there was
the
a long ride back
game.
To Rochester.
It could have been the backwards punt game.
Okay. It's not much of a snow Arizona. Game, but it was rain.
But
right?
It was super cold.
Yeah.
Windy. Arizona 90. The Phoenix Cardinals, I should say. All right, time for picks. This is not, for me, what feels like a good omen, but these came very easy to me.
All right.
Today.
Giddy up.
6.5 is a lead.
I'm
taking a lead into the playoffs.
That is what I've got. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, I know you're on Carolina. I'm so on Tampa, -3. We've lost the plot on these two teams. I mean, who do you want in the alley? The Bucks or the Panthers? Give me Tampa, -3. It's not even a real number. Home team. Tampa wins this game. If they don't win the division, they don't. But I like them in this matchup.
Carolina can still win the division if Atlanta wins their game because a three-way tie knocks Tampa out.
How about that?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Who saw that coming? I also, let's try to go in order here. I'll take the Colts. +10.5 in Houston. In my mind, if Jacksonville races to a lead, Houston can shut it down. Maybe not. Maybe they'll have a different attitude about rest versus maybe the 5 seed or something. But it's been a hard road for the Texans, and there might be that possibility here. 10.5, Jonathan Taylor going for a rushing title, Riley Leonard, maybe a different vibe. The Colts have been in close games. They've lost 6 in a row. Do they run for the bus or do they compete? Division game in Houston. I'll take Indianapolis. And double digits.
Are you home free on all your Colts bets? You right?
Yeah.
You,
oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I cashed out a long time ago on all of it because they were basically offering me almost the full amount.
Yeah.
It was such a given that they weren't going to win that division. The one bet I wish I could have like tried harder to find when they were 8-2 was to lose 7 straight because that was my prediction. And I talked to Sam, maybe on the air even, and he's like, yeah, you could have found that for 200-1 or something, but I didn't have that pop up on my phone.
Right.
But all the, you know, shorts on the Colts paid off. Pick 3, not sure what time this game is. I'm going to take Green Bay +8.5 at Minnesota. So what is this? Malik Willis against?
That's a 1 o'clock game.
Good. Whoever.
On CBS.
I know, I hate that.
Come on.
Whoever Minnesota's rolling out.
It used to be a proper country.
Maybe Minnesota, they blitz on every play anyway. Maybe Minnesota just like makes a special effort here, but the Packers don't have a team that's so top heavy that, oh, they're sitting guys. I don't care. Like, I'll take 8.5 with Green Bay. Pick 4, Denver bombs the Chargers. -12.5 with Denver. Look what happened last year when they had the Chiefs in this spot. They went 38-0. The Chiefs had like 3 first downs. The Chargers are not competing. On Monday, Jim Harbaugh was ready to tell you Herbert was sitting. Trey Lance, good luck. Denver needs the game for home field. They get it. Big win. And I'll take Pittsburgh Sunday night. I hate it. I hope I'm wrong. I think it's a way more interesting playoff if it's Baltimore and not Pittsburgh. Give me a 3-point Ravens win, and I win in every category. But, I mean, these games are always close, and I don't trust Jackson and the Ravens right now to just be decisive winners on the road against the Steelers. Really? You know, maybe they are. Maybe they're the line always loves the Ravens, and maybe that's the lesson I should take here is that Baltimore is the pick, the way I thought Indiana was yesterday, because like 7.5 over Alabama, I guess I got to do it. And they won by 35. Tampa, Indy, Green Bay, Denver, Pitt.
Keenan Allen's got a bunch of incentives for the Sunday too. And I read an accounting of him sort of, hey Trey, sort of in the locker room. Because you got like, one, you know, it was like a few $100,000 for a touchdown or like whatever, yards, catches. He's got stuff for everything. So I wonder what they do with that, if anything. All right. As you mentioned, I'm going to take the Panthers. And I agree. I think we have lost the plot, and the plot now says the Bucs aren't that good anymore. I'm just going to take the 3 points and expect a close game. So I'll take the gift of the 3. I don't have a good feel really for either one of these teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Teams right now, other than the fact that the Bucs just seemingly could not get out of their own way for more than a month here down the stretch. I will take the 49ers also Saturday night, getting 1.5.
2.5.
It's 2.5. Well, look at you. Thank you. That's a gift.
I'm afraid to take the Niners because of that.
I know. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Whatever. I'm right there for it. I'll go.
You'll bite.
I'll bite on that. They've been just a barn fire for weeks here on offense. Like, Purdy can't be stopped. We'll see if they can stop Seattle. I mean, they couldn't stop. Who they had?
Right.
So we'll see if they can turn Darnold into a big game pumpkin again. But getting 2.5, I love it. You took Steelers?
I did.
I'm going to take Baltimore -3.5.
That's good.
Looking to gain some ground, so hopefully these two that I've got opposite you go my way, because those are the only two we've got. You didn't touch the Jaguars, right?
Am I wrong for wanting the Ravens to win? It's so much more interesting than the Steelers. The Steelers are just such a dud.
I don't feel wrong that I don't feel like they're that different, these two teams, anymore. Okay. I know what Lamar Jackson has been. I'm not scared of the Ravens anymore. Myself, speaking for me, they're more of a threat than Pittsburgh. But
I wouldn't pick Pittsburgh as anybody.
It's not right
in the playoffs.
Same, but I'm not. I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, before I left for my holiday break, I decided I'm not that scared of the Ravens anymore. It looks sideways. It's been sideways. Maybe they'll get there, and maybe they'll put it all together. Maybe they have the year a lot of people are hoping the Bills have, where it's harder than you thought it was going to be. Not that the Bills have struggled like Baltimore has, but get in and then just get hot. I mean, that could happen. Last time they won the Super Bowl, that's kind of what happened. They got it. Not that they limped in or anything, but still, Flacco put 3 incredible games together, and they won the Super Bowl. Anyway, I'll take the Ravens. I like the Titans getting 12.5. All year I've been Cam Ward's actually good.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm going to go down swinging one last time. Just keep it close, Cam Ward. That's all I need. And I'll take Dallas minus 3.5 at the Giants because it seems exactly like one of the most Dallas things ever for them to go win a meaningless season finale at the Giants like 40-10.
You got to admit, though, a Giants thing would be winning this game with the second pick, if not even the first pick. That would be a very Giants thing, too. What a matchup. No Javonte Williams, by the way, for you sickos who play fantasy in Week 18. Sam Panayotovich, nationally acclaimed sports betting analyst, joins us, or did join us earlier today. We'll have that conversation next. It is Football Friday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.